stance. The dice roll every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while. We'll roll in that D percentile.
Hi everyone, so this evening we are one book in it. What's one book in? I did an episode a couple of days ago called What's Cooler Than a Ninja? Nothing. if there's podcasters out there inclined to worry that their listening figures are going down. I mean, I'm not inclined to worry, but I've noticed listening figures have gone down because people aren't listening to podcasts in the lockdown. Just put out an episode called What's Cooler Than a Ninja? Nothing. To remind yourself that titles are still everything. That episode in a couple of days has eclipsed everything I've put out. Well, a few things I put out a little while ago in lockdown have crept up past that, but just in a couple of days that has got a whole lot of listens. So titles are everything, aren't they? So something enigmatic, one book in it for tonight. Really, I'm doing a new topic because I've got so many call-ins and I'm essentially lazy. So I don't really want to muck around with putting them in episodes, recording individual responses. I will get around to it. I'm very glad to receive the call-ins. I do always say this and I do mean it. And I do always play them. Sometimes it takes a little while. But tonight I just feel like rambling about something. And the one book game is what I want to ramble about tonight. So I think regular listeners will have got this message about my preferences. I think, I don't like cynical marketing. I don't like those systems. Having been, when I was younger, had a bit more cash maybe. Well, not really. When I was playing Palladium, I was at school. So I was even resentful then of the Palladium model of you must have this splat book, you must have this splat book. And the World of Darkness model, you know, we can't detail all the, couldn't possibly detail all the clans in the core book. So we're going to give you loads of splat books for all your favourite clans. All the Star Wars games, every Star Wars game that's ever been released has done this. Really cynical marketing. You know, here's the core book. We can't just give you a core book that will let you play all of the Star Wars stuff. We're going to keep hammering the franchise to sell you splat book after splat book after splat book. I hate it. I like having a game where I can hold one book and I can go, that's all I need. That there is all I need to play this system for as long as I like. So there's been discussion recently on various platforms about, you know, if you could only have one system, what one would it be? I couldn't possibly hope to answer that. I'd give you a different answer every week, every couple of days. And it's kind of fun to think about, what if there was only one book? If you could only keep one RPG book, what would it be? But again, I couldn't hope to answer that. But I do want to consider some candidates for the ruler of the one book games. You know, that really satisfying game where you hold that one book and you go, this is all I need. Now, as I discuss this, I'm going to sort of introduce some criteria, a bit like with my Running Ninja series. Now, as we go on, we will evolve the criteria for what makes a good ninja game. I think as I ramble, I'll do this over a few episodes. I'm keen to get some call-ins on this. I'd be interested to know people's ideas about what are the great one-book games. But as we go on, I think the criteria for judging them will emerge. The first thing to say is I'm not even going to be strict about it needing to be one book. Because sometimes you can look at a three-book set and you can think, well, they could just as easily have put that together in one book. One very well received game recently has given you the options. Here's a box of several books. Here's the one book you choose. I'm not even going to be strict about it needing to be one book. You know, three books in a slipcase, all right, I'll go with that. You know, that. So I'm not being strict about having to be one book you hold in your hand, but something bounded. You know, there it is, one purchase, one outlay, one slipcase, one two-book pair, and I've got it all. You know, I don't feel the need to get the splats. So I'm not even saying this book can't have splats. extensions, add-ons. But these splats, extensions, add-ons, if they exist, shouldn't undermine the one bookness of the system. This is purely subjective and my own preferences for games, but I wonder if other people feel the same way, that particular satisfaction about holding something and saying, oh, that's it, that's the one book. So I mean, and the reason why I don't want to be strict about it having to be one book is because I want to talk about fifth ed D&D, and I don't want to reject fifth ed D&D out of hand. I don't just want to go, well, that's three books for a start, so that's out. I want to go, all right, let's imagine, now I didn't buy mine in a slipcase, but you can get three books in a slipcase. There you go, there's one. You can look on your shelf, you can look at those three books. Maybe fifth ed is a candidate for the one book game, as I've loosely described it. Certainly when I got hold of my fifth eds a few years ago, I looked at them with great joy and thought, God, there's a few years of gaming in here. You know, your very comprehensive monster manual, DMG with lots of options, and just so many player options right off the bat in the player's handbook. So I don't want to say just because it's three books, it won't qualify for a one book game. I am going to reject it eventually, but I think I can do so on some tighter principles, which will enable me to say why there are other sort of one book candidates which are just one book, which I'll probably reject for similar reasons. This is kind of what I mean. So I'm going to discuss fifth ed as a possibility, although it's, you know, the core is three books, as a possibility for a one book game. I think it has got lots of things going for it in that respect. Ultimately reject it, and that'll probably establish some criteria for rejecting some other single book efforts further down the line. So the first thing to note is that there are setting books and various other things available for fifth ed, but I've been really impressed by the marketing decision. They are not milking the franchise. I mean, it's sped up a little bit, or it seems like it's sped up a little bit recently, but I was really impressed. And obviously there's DM's Guild, we'll get to DM's Guild in a minute, but I was really impressed with the marketing model for fifth ed. I haven't played it for a couple of years. But I did play it. I played it a lot. I was really impressed with the marketing model. You know, they didn't hammer you with the books. That's comparing it with fourth ed, hammer, 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 third ed. My gosh, splat after splat after splat. I couldn't keep up with it. And that was when, you know, third ed was sort of peak. I'd started my professional career, didn't have a family, had loads of money. And even I felt I couldn't keep up with it. Yeah, it's probably a combination. It's third edition, World of Darkness and Palladium that just really set me on edge with this whole marketing, like, got to have this book, got to have this. Of course, you haven't got to have any of the books. So I'm not saying that the existence of all this splat, setting books, whatever else, undermines the one bookness. But that said, it is in the favour of fifth ed that they really didn't hammer that. I mean, you've got the core, you've got various setting books with some options in. We'll come to options in a minute. And then you've got your sort of unofficial additional core, haven't you? Your Volo and your Mordenkainen and your other one, which whose name escapes me at the moment, but I will come to it in a moment. I actually really enjoy those books. I really enjoy sort of leafing through them, getting inspiration. I like the fact that you've got additions to the monster manual in there. I like some of the things they've done with more detail of monster ecologies. I find them to be nice books to read and give me inspiration. I don't think they're essential. But I'm actually impressed, given how long fifth ed lasts, that the core hasn't expanded much more. And bizarrely so. So that is in WotC's favour. The marketing model for fifth ed, I was very pleased with. And yeah, as I say, I got those three books, and you look at them, and you look at the, you know, within the character classes, you've got your various different options, lots of possibilities for builds, and you get a sense of comprehensiveness. Now, one of the principles I'm going to offer for judging the one bookness of a game, actually, is that comprehensiveness, massiveness of amount of options, is not conducive to your one book game. Because if a book purports to give you everything, I don't know, that's much harder to achieve and makes the existence of other books offering other options. Now, DM's Guild, of course, has got option after option after option, new class options, new builds, and they all become more enticing when a game purports to be comprehensive. Because you look at it and you go, well, I've got most of the stuff, but I haven't got this, or I wonder about that build, or what about if you did it this way? And then you see over there, oh, this book has got a couple of other builds, or one more class option, or a couple of variations on that monster. There we go. So I think I'm moving towards a principle that it's difficult because a one book, you know, that one book has got to give you a sense of, you've got to have a sense of coherence and completeness. There's got to be a sense of finality about it. But I don't think it achieves that by being comprehensive. You know, all the stuff is in here. I think rather that probably the games that I look at my shelf and go, yeah, that's great. That one, that's all you need. You could play that for years. Do so actually by being lighter, by being looser, by not having so much in, and thereby giving you license to invent, to fill in, to be creative. Not to appeal to that collector in you which says, oh, I've got nearly every option, but if I had that book, I would have every option. Rather, I think candidates for my one book game are going to be lighter games, looser games, games that prioritise maybe improvisation on the spot, or prioritise creativity and preparation. I think there's another reason, therefore, why I'm not going to include Fifth Ed, even though they deserve a mention because I am so impressed with their marketing model. And that's that Fifth Ed isn't really conducive to sort of quick filling in of the gaps. I mean, with the classes and the class options, they don't really let you under the hood. There is some guidance in the DM's guide for creating new options. I think it starts by saying, you know, don't. But there is some guidance. But it doesn't really let you under the hood in terms of class options. It does give, I was initially impressed, it does give pretty comprehensive guidance on creating monsters, but still it takes you ages. It takes too long. So I don't find that Fifth Ed is great as a hacker's sandbox, you know, a GM sandbox for saying, okay, I've got this, I can just fill in the gaps. I think it therefore encourages getting the additional material, getting the PDF off DriveThru or whatever, so you've got some more monsters or you've got some more class options, because it doesn't make it easier for you to create those yourself. And I think that's probably the biggest reason why I wouldn't include Fifth Ed. So that's the start. So I've started my one book in it by I hope by giving some props to Fifth Ed, actually, although but you know, because I don't think they went down that's I don't really understand their economic model. They clearly make enough money, but they didn't go down that route to something like Edge of Empire, which, you know, or the Fantasy Flight Star Wars, which I am just appalled by, did. That just right from the core book just screamed that you were gonna want, I mean, for a start, you couldn't play Jedis until you bought that core book. You couldn't do Rebels and Soldiers until you buy that core book. I mean, that's desperately cynical right off the bat to sell you a core book for doing rogue stuff first and then saying, yeah, there's a couple of Force powers in here, but if you want Jedis, you've got to buy another whole core book later. I mean, really? Really? I've got books on my shelf that I can do any universe, any any setting I want, just by using their rules. With Star Wars, you know, you had the franchise, you gotta milk it. I don't know, just makes me sad. I mean, if I want Star Wars, I will of course go to Scum and Villainy. I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but that is my go-to Star Wars game. It's not official Star Wars product, it's got no license. It's Star Wars with the serial numbers filed off, but it's obviously what they're going for. And if you know the franchise, you've watched the films, you've engaged a bit with the expanded universe, then you're good to go with Star Wars with that. And that is the only product in its line. Might say a little bit more about those Blades in the Dark, Forged in the Dark books. They are potentially good candidates for your one book game. That is the model. You've got Blades in the Dark, you've got Scum and Villainy, you've got the one book that defines your campaign. But I think that's also the problem with those books, that they quite closely define a campaign. I can't remember the name of it at the moment, but the newer one where you play a mercenary band facing off against the zombies. I think it's very much like the Black Company or something like that. I think the campaign is so closely bound that I don't think when you're holding that you have that feeling. Certainly this is all I need to play that campaign, but you don't have that feeling that this is all I need. It's all I need for this game. Even with Scum and Villainy, my favourite one of those. I'm just not always in a Star Wars mood. I quite often am. I very much am at the moment. I've only just started watching The Mandalorian and it's amazing. So that's put me in a Star Wars mood. But I don't think I could really... Yeah, maybe I'll consider Scum and Villainy later on. But there you go. I have... I've considered 5th Ed. I think they deserve props because I was pleased with their marketing model, but ultimately they're not. So I've offered a negative candidate, and I've vilified some other systems which definitely don't do it. And in future episodes, because I've gone on quite long enough, in future episodes I think I'll talk a bit about some good candidates. So I'll probably talk about Numenera. The Cypher system, yes, there's loads and loads of stuff for Numenera, but I pretty much ignore all of it, apart from the core book. Even with the two new books, Discovery and Destiny, Discovery's got everything I want. I pretty much ignore Destiny, so Numenera's in there. Cypher system rulebook is in there. A lot of your light clones. Got to talk about Old School Essentials, Black Hack, maybe some more obscure ones off my shelf. So there are candidates coming which I think deserve serious consideration as a one-book game. So I hope you'll keep listening, and please do call in with your favourite. Keep well, everyone. I'll catch you soon.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at d_percentile.